Lesson tonight, a lesson that most of you perhaps are familiar with the principles, but again, as 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12 says, wherefore I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth which is with you. So, very practical lesson, so practical that I even gave it the following title, The Apostle Paul and the Three Bears. And don't worry, this has nothing to do with the story of Goldilocks and the three bears that we're all familiar with, but it's got to do with three basic principles. Three basic principles that I hope and pray will help each of us better serve God and better serve one another. The three bear principles that we will be meditating upon tonight are found in Galatians chapter 6, verses 2, 5, and 17, the ones we just read. But before we study those tonight, I'd like to first clear up an apparent contradiction, especially based on the American Standard and other versions. I'd like to clear up that contradiction raised by skeptics. You know how skeptics are. They're always accusing the Bible of being a book full of contradictions, but as we shall subsequently see, there is no such contradiction. And the apparent contradiction is based on Galatians 6, verse 2 and verse 5. Burden versus burden. In his epistle to the Galatians, Paul admonishes his brothers to bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. A few verses later, however, the inspired writer affirms that each man shall bear his own burden. To the student of the English Bible, these two verses may present some contradiction, but the question we need to ask is this. Do these verses really conflict with one another? Do they contradict one another? And the answer, obviously, is no. They do not contradict one another because, as it is the case with the rest of the scriptures, the Bible does not contradict itself. So, what we got here is the following solution. In the text of the Greek New Testament, the Apostle Paul has employed different terms with an obvious design in view. For example, as we see here in Galatians 6:2, the word translated burden, each man shall bear his own burden, comes from the Greek word baros. And baros signifies a weight. Contextually, it denotes the common afflictions of life, whether physical, 2 Corinthians 5:4, whether material, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 16, or spiritual difficulties, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. In a word, it refers to any type of burdens which is capable of being shared by brethren. In such areas, we must help one another. Now, on the other hand, Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, each man shall bear his own burden. The Greek word there is fortion. And fortion is used in Acts 27:10 of a cargo which a ship was designed to carry. So in other words, that's what fortion means. In Matthew 11:30, the word is used of obligation when Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my fortion, my burden, is light. So contextually, therefore, in Galatians 6:5, Paul is stressing that one must bear his own responsibility before the Lord. Such cannot be relegated to another. Having said that, I'd like to define one more term, and it's the word bear. Bear does not mean, especially in this context, does not mean the big furry animal with big claws and big teeth. Bear comes from the Greek word bastazo, and bastazo means to lift, literally or figuratively, to bear, to carry, to take up. Now, let us turn our attention to the three bears. Bear number one, bear one another's burden, chapter 6 and verse 2 of Galatians. The question is, what does bear one another's burden mean? What does bear one another's burden mean? Well, as we stated before, it means to help each other in times of physical, material, or spiritual needs. It means that we will be there for our brethren in their times of trouble. It means that we're going to help them bear that burden, carry it, take it up. And that's what we're going to do with them if we truly care for them. I'm sure that most of us are familiar with the saying that goes something along these lines. No one really knows that you care until you really show them how much you care. In other words, as the other saying goes, actions speak louder than words. We cannot tell our brothers and sisters that we care for them if we're not really demonstrating that care towards them. So it is important, brethren, that if we truly care for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be there and help them bear their burden. May we never allow our brothers and sisters in Christ cry out like David did in Psalm 142 and verse 4. David said, "Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul." Brethren, in that context or in that instance, David was being crushed by a heavy burden. You know, many of his friends had forsaken him. In fact, Saul was hunting him down to kill him. And basically, David felt alone. You know, he felt forsaken. But he was so blessed that God was with him. And a few faithful, loyal soldiers were with him also. And in the end, unfortunately, Saul had to die or died. And David went on to become king of Israel. But during that time, God helped him with his burden. And then the faithful men that remained with him, they helped him with that burden also. And we need to do the same thing. So that brings us to the question, how can we bear one another's burden? How can we bear one another's burden? One of the things we can do, based on the context of Galatians 6, is to restore those who have been overtaken in any trespass. And the meaning of overtaken in any trespass is this. I'm quoting from the following scholars. Referring to cases of surprise or of sudden temptation, Mr. Barnes, not gone into sin as a result of sinful premeditation, but surprised by it, Brother B.W. Johnson. And it is not a case of some Christian overtaking a trespass, but that of the trespass overtaking him, Brother Waycaster. So in essence, what we got here is a dislocated member of the body of Christ, someone who through weakness or lack of watchfulness fell into sin. And it is our job to restore such a one, literally to mend, to repair such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to ourselves, lest we be tempted also. Let us not forget the warning that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest what? Lest he falls. So it is important that we do not get overconfident, but rather to be humble when we are faithful and then help those who have been overtaken by sin. Now, another question. What else can we do to help each other with our burdens? One of the things we can do is fulfill the responsibilities that we have towards one another. And I'm about to give you a list of some of those responsibilities. And the list consists of the following. We have to love one another. Love is the basic principle. We need to make sure that we love one another. If there is no love, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what I do. It just doesn't matter because there is no love in the things that we do. So it is important that we love one another. And Christ said in John 13, 34 and 35 that we have to love one another as he loved us. So he loved us enough to die for us, to care for us, and to be there for us, and we need to do the same for our brethren. Be there for them in their times of need. We have to have the same care for one another. We mentioned the phrase, dislocated member. Put your mind in motion. Just pretend that you're walking on the street, and all of a sudden something hits you, and you dislocated your shoulder. What does the hand do? The hand goes to the shoulder, starts rubbing the shoulder, tries to make it feel good. Your feet take you to a place where you can sit down, and you try to, you know, just bear with the pain and make you feel good. You go to the hospital. In essence, the whole body reacts because of that dislocated shoulder. And the hand rubs the shoulder. It doesn't turn into a fist and start saying, "Well, why did you dislocate yourself?" It doesn't do that, you know. It is an important lesson, you know, and we can apply that in the spiritual realm. Why? Because, you know, we are members of one another. We are members of the body of Christ, and we need to have the same care for one another. We need to remember the golden rule. Also, we have to be kind to one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ also forgave us. So it is important that we are kind to one another, that we, through love, serve one another, Galatians 5:13, that we comfort one another. Sometimes we may be experiencing certain downhills, steep hills not hills, but steep hills or downward valleys in our lives. And, you know, we're going to need help, and we're going to need encouragement. And that's why we need to comfort one another. We also need to edify one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We have to exhort one another. Hebrews 3:13. And the list continues. We have to stir up one another to love and good works. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. We have to confess our trespasses to one another. And if I may put a little footnote here, this does not mean that I'm going to write out a list of all the sins that I have committed in the past, and then all of a sudden, Brother Jeff Goodell, you know, I want us to confess our trespasses to one another, so write out a list of the things that you've done, and then you tell me, and then I tell you. You know, that's not what it means. The meaning of confess our trespasses to one another is that we admit, well, Brother Jeff, I have sinned against you. I admit it. What can I do to make it up to you? Can you please forgive me? And that's the meaning. We don't give each other details of the things we've done. God knows, we know, and all we need to do is admit it. That's confessing the trespasses to one another. So that's on that. Second, we have to refuse to speak evil or grumble against one another. James 4:11 and 5:9. And the list could continue. But the important thing is that we remember that we are members of one another and that we need to care for one another. We need to be there for one another. So bearing one another's burden is very important. The next question is, why should we bear one another's burden? Why should we do that? Based on the context, the text tells us that we have to bear one another's burden to fulfill the law of Christ. And obviously, this is reference to the new commandment Christ gave in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. You know, the commandment of loving one another as Christ loved us. We need to do that. It is important that we have that same care for one another. Also, when we love one another, that's going to make it easy. Well, I'm going to help my brother Gary here because I love him, because I have love, the agape love, and we all make it easy on each other to help each other. So it is important that we bear one another's burden to fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, the law of love. And then to basically fulfill the golden rule, you know, to practice the golden rule. It is important that we practice the golden rule because someday, you never know when, but it's going to happen. You're going to feel so crushed by a certain burden in your life, and you're going to wish for someone to be there for you. But if you want that to happen, you need to be there for someone today. Don't let it happen and say, today for me and tomorrow for you. No, put it the other way around. Today for you and tomorrow for me. That's what the golden rule does to us whenever we practice it. We look for the well-being of our brothers and sisters today, and then tomorrow they do the same to us. So bearing burdens is very important. Now, continuing with the bears. Bear number two. Each man shall bear his own burden. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5. What does each man shall bear his own burden mean? Again, as we stated in the beginning, it means that we have our own responsibility to bear before God. The burden we must bear on our own is described by some scholars as a soldier's kit. In that kit, you have everything you need in order for you to fulfill your responsibilities. So you better not give that kit to someone else. You better not lose that kit, or else whenever the enemy comes attacking, you're going to find yourselves in a lot of trouble. So it is important that we keep our kit, that we bear our own burden, our own responsibility before God in order for us to be able to fulfill all the responsibilities God has placed on us. Now, the question is, how can we bear our own burden? And the answer is simple, by fulfilling all the responsibilities God expects us to fulfill. It's very simple. Sometimes we make it harder on ourselves. But remember, Jesus Christ says that his burden is light. And it is a matter of choice whether you really devote yourself to bearing your burden or you just start making excuses to say well, you know, it's too hard, it's too heavy, and when in reality it isn't heavy. It's light, as Jesus Christ described it. Now, what are some of the responsibilities that we have? Some of the burdens that we need to bear? And here is another list. We must read, study, and meditate on God's Word, especially with the Soldiers of Christ program. I'm not saying you cannot help each other with the study, but when it comes to basically taking the test, I'm sure that the elders will just look at you and smile if you tell them, well, Brother Don, I'm here to tell you the answers to the quiz, but I'm going to have so-and-so give you the answers because I couldn't memorize them. That's not going to cut it. You know, you're going to have to do your own work. You can help each other, but then again, it is each individual's responsibility to read, study, and meditate on God's Word. That's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13. Devote yourself to the reading of the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. And then again, 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate on these things. And the psalmist says, meditate on the Word day and night. So it is important that we do that in order for us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have that we must be doers of the Word and not hearers only. What will it matter if you devote time to reading, studying, and meditating if you're not going to practice what you've learned? You know, it's obvious, it's not going to do you any good. So you must be a doer of the Word. We must be doers of the Word and not hearers only. We must be good examples to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And then notice the next one. We must be salt of the earth and light of the world. So it's not just a matter of behaving good here in church whenever our brethren see us, but it is a matter of behaving well to be a good example to the unbelievers. So we are to be good examples not only to the believers, but to the unbelievers in order for them to see Christ in our lives. So it goes hand in hand. We must walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John 1:7. We must be imitators of God as beloved children. We must imitate that which is good. We must not forsake the assembly, as is the custom of some. I'm not going to tell my wife, you know, I don't feel like preaching today, so you go and do that for me. You know, that's not going to happen. I don't feel like praying today, so you pray for me. You know, we can pray for one another, but not the responsibility itself. I must pray without ceasing and communicate with my Heavenly Father. Those things don't happen or cannot be relegated to someone else. We must put on the full armor of God. We must fight the good fight of faith. We must bear our own cross and the light burden that Christ gives us. And I emphasize, light burden. Not because I think it's light, but because Jesus said it was a light burden. Light burden, we must bear it. We must not love the world or the things that are in the world. And we must love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbors as ourselves. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Those are some of the responsibilities. And again, the list could continue, but the point is, we have responsibilities to bear. Let us not neglect those responsibilities. Let us not say, well, I'm going to give it to someone else. It's not going to happen. If you do that, then someone else is going to get your crown whenever a judgment day comes. So bear your own responsibility. That brings us to the question, why should we bear our own responsibility? Well, simple. We should bear our own responsibility or burden in order to please God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, Paul, using the metaphor of the soldier, basically he says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So we want to please Christ, we want to please God, then we must bear our own burden, our own responsibility, our soldier's kit, as someone described our burden. Also, we should bear our own burden because we will be judged individually. Again, whatever you do, whatever your neighbor does, whatever someone else does, it won't matter. When it comes to personal responsibilities, we will be held accountable on a personal level. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be the case that, well, I'm going to be judged for whatever my wife or my daughter did. I'm going to be judged individually. We cannot excuse one another. So we have that. Then we proceed to bear number three. I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Don't worry, that's not blood there. My wife, she was like, oh, what happened there? It's just the bear is dirty. He was looking for food and you know, he was working for his meal. So that's not blood right there. But anyway, What's the meaning of the term marks? Let us first define the word marks. The term marks comes from the Greek word stigmata, from stigma, which means a mark or tattoo branded on the skin or cut into the skin for recognition of ownership. We have that. Masters gave that to their slaves. I wouldn't want to be a slave back in the first century. Or a soldier, because soldiers, their generals, gave them that mark, you know, their tattoo branded on the skin, or that tattoo carved into their skin. So that was the use of it. Figuratively speaking, it denotes the scar of service. And that's what exactly what Paul means here. Now, the question is, what does it mean to bear in our bodies the marks of Jesus Christ? Let me start, first of all, telling you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, as the legend of St. Francis of Assisi affirms, that we can become so spiritual to the point that God is going to send a seraphim, and that seraphim is going to give you the gift of the five wounds of Christ. One, two, two on the feet, and then on the side. That's the five wounds of Christ. They call that stigmata, you know, based on this verse of Galatians 6:17. And that so-called miracle happened in September 1224 A.D., and, you know, people believe that. You know, they think the marks of Jesus Christ means the five wounds of Christ. But don't worry. That's just a legend. You're not going to be getting those anytime soon. But let me tell you what it does mean. It means the following. It means that you will experience suffering for the cause of Christ. Or as our late brother Wendell Winkler described it, the bearer of conviction that is willing to suffer for Christianity. And that's exactly what Paul meant. You know, especially in the context of Galatians, the Judaizers and many other people were questioning his apostleship. And then Paul goes on to say, you know, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. I am a true apostle of Jesus Christ, so don't be questioning me. I have the marks to prove it. I am a genuine apostle of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul meant. And obviously, he made mention of that. We can read in Acts 14:19 how he was stoned and left for dead. In 2 Corinthians 11:23-28, he mentions that instance. He also mentioned that he received five times 40 stripes minus one from the Jews. He was beaten three times with rods, and he suffered shipwreck. He was in fastings. He was suffering all kinds of trials, and the heavy burden, the stress that he had, you know, the concern for all the churches, the spiritual well-being of all the churches back then in the first century. So that's exactly what Paul meant. But let us apply that to us. How can we bear in our bodies the marks of Jesus Christ? How can we accomplish that? Well, it is safe to say that we will not be going through what Paul went through back in the first century. Yet we can be sure, or we can rest assured, that we will be suffering certain things for the cause of Christ. And what are some of those sufferings that we will be experiencing? Well, family may hate us, Matthew 10:35-36. Let us remember that Jesus Christ did not come to bring peace, but a sword, you know, and obviously meaning that some people would not accept him, and those who would accept him, that they would sometimes be at odds with each other, especially family members. The world hates us. Notice present tense. We can see through the media how the world hates Christians, so they hate us, 1 John 3:13. People may speak all kinds of evil against us falsely. Matthew 5:10-11. And we can see this through the media also. They always have this ability to make Christians look bad. You know, we're the ones who don't tolerate people. We're the ones who don't love people, and we don't accept them the way they are. You know, it's not that. It's just that God wants us to live by a certain standard, and we're trying our best to do so. It's not a matter that we hate people, but then again, they speak falsely against us. And then, even our own brethren may forsake us. There will be times when our own brothers and sisters in Christ will forsake us. Let us remember the case of Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10. Paul says, Demas has forsaken me. So our own brothers and sisters in Christ may forsake us at times. But the point is that we must endure patiently and glorify God in that name. And obviously by suffering as a Christian. If any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. 1 Peter 4:16. And when we suffer, When we experience all those negative things around us, let us just keep in mind the following verse, Romans 8:18. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Romans 8:18. We will suffer. Doesn't matter. We endure it patiently. But in the end, we will be rewarded. And you can rest assured that because God has promised it. And God who promises, he cannot lie. Whatever he promised you, he will accomplish because he is a faithful God. Even if we don't remain faithful, he is faithful, as Paul states. Therefore, as Christians, we must bear one another's burden. We must bear our own burden, and we must bear in our bodies the marks of Jesus Christ. By practicing these three bear principles, we are given the assurance that someday we will be in heaven with Jesus Christ. We shall see him face to face, as we sing sometimes. Now, if you're not a Christian, perhaps you don't have a burden to bear. You don't have to bear Christians' burdens. You don't have to suffer for the sake of Christ. But you do have one burden, one responsibility to bear, and that's obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, basically, is the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ coming to earth to die for our sins, according to the scriptures, to be buried. He was buried, and then he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. That is the basic message of the gospel: death, burial, and resurrection. And we see that whenever people in the first century, the Jews, Samaritans, Simon the sorcerer, etc., all those cases of conversions, that was the message they heard, and that's the message they obeyed. When they heard it, they believed it, they repented of their sins, they confessed Christ as Lord and Son of God, and then they were baptized in water for the remission of their sins. Or as Paul was told, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. So we culminate obedience to the gospel in the act of baptism, because baptism basically summarizes the gospel. If you see the next chart, you see that the gospel is death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we obey the gospel, we die to sin, we are buried in the waters of baptism, and then we resurrect spiritually to walk in newness of life. So let us keep that in mind. Now, the question is, what are you willing to do for the Lord? Are you willing to bear your own responsibility and help your brothers and sisters in Christ with their burdens? If you are willing to do so, and you are willing to become a Christian and fight for the cause of Christ, then we encourage you to obey the gospel tonight. Perhaps you're a Christian, and you have not been fulfilling your responsibilities. You have not been bearing your own burden. Then we encourage you to make things right with God. If you are subject to the invitation, we encourage you to respond as we together stand up and sing the song of invitation. May God bless you, and thank you for your attention.